desire to serve the Lord in our hearts, know him in the power of his resurrection, that he's not just off there in the clouds, he's not just some idea, but he's somebody I talk to, someone I fellowship with, he's someone I walk with. And you talk about getting your feelings, that's where I want to get them from. You know, I think that's right. I don't think God, you know, God has feelings too. You'll find that. He gets angry, he gets mad, he gets happy. You know, where do we get ours from? We got them from him. Now, you don't just base it on those, but if it comes from the word, you ought to feel good. That's right. I think we ought to tell our faces that. Ought to just go ahead and feel good, you know. Too many times, I've said this before, we have maybe a rougher day or a rougher week or something, the first person we take it out on is God. Just you're tired, praise. Just too hard. It was too hard of a day, Lord. I can't. Well, you gave all your energy to work. You gave it all to somebody else. You sure ate supper. Gave all that strength away. Well, how about we just give it to the Lord now? Amen. See, you already feel better, don't you? We got a good amen, and we got all that kind of going now. All right. Well, let's stand together tonight. We got Brother, I almost said Stuart. Brother Josiah. Just, I don't know, maybe I announced that consecutively on time. You know, Brother Stuart over and over again. I'm not used to doing that. I'm used to messing up, and you all come in here like, oh, yeah, we got a guest minister tonight. God bless you, folks. Well, it's good to have Brother Josiah here tonight. He actually came a little early and had some supper with us. He really had he loved my wife's meal, so I think he's good to go. We fueled him up, but I'm here to hear from the Lord. And I thank God for a man of God. I thank God for people of God that believe in the gifts of God. You know, it's hard to find that anymore. It's hard to find. And you can tell we've got, you know, circumstances. I guess I don't mind. Do you know where Brother Kent's at, brother? Did he just said he?
Have I known where, Lord, I pray.
Oh, mercy. Well, I'm about to get on some of these people in this church. I need to start hearing about some of this. I heard about this world. I mean, I heard about Sister Sharon's mom and things, but I didn't know anything about Mia falling and things. And I believe in praying for each other, you know. You can feel you miss. Does anybody know about Sister Juanita happening today? Anybody?
Thank you, Lord.
All right, well, let's keep everyone in prayer. It just felt good. I don't know, Sunday it felt like everybody's finally here.
Oh, God.
So, I'm pastor around here, so I guess I'm allowed to say that.
I'm here to deliver.
I preach on attendance pretty often. Well, maybe that's why, brother, sister.
We need to get here.
But anyways, praise the Lord. I like to preach on where Christian or preach. I'm just an autopilot tonight, brother, sister. I'm not preaching, brother. Decide. Onward Christian Soldier. You all know that one? It's I think it says D, but I don't know. Is that right?
Christian Soldier. Going on before Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banners low. Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war, with
sing like a mighty army. Sing it now.
Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we. One in charity.
All right, let's sing.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Crowns and thorns may perish. Listen now. Kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus constant will remain.
gates of hell can never against that church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, which can never fail.
Hallelujah!
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before.
We know the first verse. Let's sing that again.
And onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before.
Christ the royal banner leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner
move. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Us going on before.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise him, all ye people. Lift up your voice, all ye saints. I believe he's worthy of our praise tonight. He's worthy. We might be a little bit tired tonight, but he's still worthy. We might be a little bit depressed tonight, but he's still worthy. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe the Lord's going to take the battle tonight, don't you? How many knows that whenever we come to the church of God, it's a battle?
Amen.
We know it's a battle out there, but we were told that the church of God is a place of judgment.
Amen.
We are taught that our place of judgment is here and not at the white throne of judgment.
Amen.
But I'd also like to say that for the Christian, the place of judgment for those demons that attack the Christian, it's not the lake of fire, but it's underneath a fire of the Word of God.
Amen.
Here in the house of God.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to begin to get right into the Word. We thank the musicians. Wonderful playing. I believe God's going to move on the scene tonight,
praise,
don't you?
Lord.
I just have an old-fashioned feeling down in my heart. I can tell you folks here at the church have it too. Can tell by your worship and by your praise.
Amen.
You know, hallelujah. Not long ago, I woke up from a dream that I was having, and it was one of the most strangest dreams I've had. I'm not typically the type of person that dreams and things that would be spiritual, but it seemed so strange. I was there, and I had a little car that drove me out to the countryside, and when I got to the countryside, I stepped out of the car, and alongside the countryside in front of someone's home there was this great, great serpent that was crawling around, and I had a large sword, almost like a knife or almost like a sword in my hand, and I just went hacking away at the serpent there, and I hacked into little bitty pieces.
Amen.
And it seemed like the little bitty pieces either crawled together again or began to multiply and becoming new snakes. And I came from my dream like that, and it seemed like there was a voice speaking to me, and it said, "You have to go for the head."
Uh-huh. Amen.
And I believe that's what the Lord has for us tonight.
Yes, Lord.
I believe there's some serpents that the Word of God will silence tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But the battle is the Lord's.
Amen.
But I believe there will be a battle tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Now, before we bring it to the battle, why don't we go ahead and call the one who's the Lord of the battle on the scene.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Father. Lord, knowing that we're divinely commissioned to be here tonight, Father. Lord, that we're divinely commissioned to bring you glory,
hallelujah,
vessels of honor unto you, Lord. And anything that comes against those vessels of honor to try to bring them into a state of dishonor is against you, Lord. And there's nothing that can raise its hand against you and have victory. So, Lord, we're looking for you to move on the scene. I pray that you would come, Lord, as I know you already have won the battle. I believe this battle is yours tonight. May you take it completely and utterly. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, in bringing the Lord on the scene, let's go where we know that we can find him, to the Scriptures. And we're going to start in Genesis. chapter 1. And verse 1. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You may have your seats. I'd like to start with this scripture verse because it begins to show us the nature of the God that we serve, and it begins to show us the attributes of God.
Amen.
And we've done it many times, but we can go back and we can imagine that first time that God began to bring what he had in his mind into formation.
Amen.
He had a thought in his mind, and he said, I want to make this manifested.
Yes.
And because his attribute was a creator, not a thinker, not a Plato, not a Socrates.
Yes, right.
He was not some sort of person that sat on a rock and just thought things out, but he was a creator.
Amen.
It was one of his attributes.
Yes.
And so God sat there when there was only perhaps angels around, but he said, I'm not content with angels.
Right.
I'm not content with just this. I've got something else in mind.
Yes.
I want something to drop out of my mind and drop out of the spirit world and take a natural formation. And so we can imagine that he saw what he wanted to have, and he began to spin off just a little bit of a clinker, and it began to form, and you had the earth there. And it says that God created the heaven and the earth. And I don't know if it was just the earth there. I imagine there were other planets and other worlds around. The scripture doesn't talk to it. That wasn't really important.
Right.
At the time, Pluto wasn't that important.
Right.
Still a dwarf planet, but Pluto wasn't important back then either. Mars wasn't important. You can take the biggest planet in the world, seems like the most significant planet in the universe, the planet that has the most draw and the most power and the most force of gravitational pull, but the Word of God doesn't even mention Mars. It doesn't even mention Venus. It doesn't mention any of these worlds. It doesn't mention the other galaxies. It just says that God created the heavens and God created the earth.
Glory to God.
And so we find
Amen.
Out that God's first attribute was the attribute of a creator.
Yes.
But God was not Amen. Satisfied to only stay at the level of a creator. But what we find out is that God has another attribute inside of him. God had the attribute of a builder.
Yeah.
And we can begin to see that throughout time, God actually created time in order to have a prism that he can pass the light of his substance through. And divide out his attributes so that we could be able to experience him, be able to see him.
Yes.
Just like a light passing through a prism and you see the rainbow of colors that come forth. We could not see God except God created the prism of time
Amen.
To express himself through.
Sure.
And so now we can begin to see that God, as a builder would, he sits down and he says, well, I know that I've got my tools here. And he creates his laydown area.
Sure.
And he sets down his tools and he creates a space where he's going to put his tools at, and he begins to look over here, and he says, well, I think this would be a nice place to build. It kind of sits on the hill, and the sun rises over here, and it sets over here. This is the perfect spot. This is the place where I want to dwell. And so he begins to say this. He divinely, as a man, he sovereignly chooses that spot for his dwelling place.
Right.
And God was the exact same way. He laid down his tools. He set the order of heaven and earth. He set down the foundation. And with all those planets around, he said, but I want to shine my grace on this one planet.
That's right.
There's this one planet that I want to speak to. I want to come down and have fellowship with this planet. I want to see what I have in my mind begin to be manifested on this planet. He ignored Mars, he ignored Venus,
right,
he ignored Jupiter, but he looked with favor on one planet, and that's the planet that we sit on now.
Amen.
Man can't understand why on Earth, why is it that this planet here doesn't have water, and this planet here doesn't have anything green, and there's no life over here. And they try to reason, well, it's because the gravitational pull on the sun, and it's just not in right orbit, and so for some reason, we don't know why, but only Earth has this perfect scenario of life.
Right.
But God knows why.
That's right.
He shined his favor upon this earth.
Thank you, Lord.
And so he begins to look at the earth and he says, friends, what we're doing right now is we're just bringing God on the scene.
Amen.
And so he begins to look at them, because we know that when we talk about God, Brother Dan, it brings them on the scene, isn't it?
Yes, Lord.
And so God, looking at his character as a builder, he looks at this earth and he begins to build it up. And he begins to build it up not with power tools, Brother James, not with drill presses, not with anything like that, but he begins to build it up by the power of the spoken word,
Amen.
Which was the original seed.
Yes, right.
And so he looks at that and he says, first of all, I have this world here. It just, and at the time, you can imagine it was just this great pile of cosmic gases and dust and ashes and rock all accumulated together. And there was no order and there was chaos. And the Bible says it was without form. You couldn't quite stick a finger on it. You couldn't say that this is where the earth is. It was just a bunch of gases. And it was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. But here's where the story changes.
Hallelujah.
It says, then the Spirit of God began to move across the face of the waters. And so we know that there were waters there and there was the face of the deep there, but something about it, God just began to move across it.
Amen.
And he said, let there be light. And all of a sudden there was light, Brother
Dan.
That's
right. Amen.
But that wasn't enough, because he began to turn to it and he saw that the light had to be divided from the darkness.
Amen.
And you can imagine I don't know how it worked. He said, let there be light, and there was light, but yet somehow it was still inside the darkness. Somehow the light was still mixed together with the darkness. And so all we have is this great world that was without form and without void, and there was chaos and there was confusion in it. But God began to shine his favor upon it, and he began to speak to it, and he said, I want light in there. And he began to bring light forth, but it was in stages, because that's how the builder does it. A builder lays his work and his handicraft in stages. And he says, let there be light, and light came forth, but still the world didn't recognize that there was light. The world looked at it and he said, there's still gray and there's darkness and there's this and that, and I can't quite decipher where the light is at. But then all of a sudden God moves on the scene and he says, I'm going to separate the light from the darkness. I'm going to make a division here. I'm going to call forth the light from the darkness, and it's going to be distinct, and it's going to be separate, and it's going to be holy, and it's going to be completely for my purpose. And so he begins to move across the face of the deep, separating the light from the darkness. And God is not satisfied with that. He says, I've got light, but I don't see my earth yet. I don't see anything that can receive my seed yet. It's still buried underneath the waters. I want something to come forth from those waters. And he uses those waters to wash the earth and to cleanse it. And he begins to move his waters across the face of the earth. But finally, he says, one day, he says, let the waters separate from the land. And it says that all of a sudden, land came out of the waters.
That's right.
But we know that a day with the Lord is a thousand years.
That's right.
I don't know how it happened. It might have been that the waters began to recede back as that new light was shining upon it, pulling the waters back. The world came forth after a few years. And all of a sudden, it came forth and it was muck and it was mire. Have you ever been to the bottom of a pond? Ever touched that clay surface and let your toes run into it? That's the way the world looked when the waters first receded off the face of the deep. Muck and mire coming forth. But God said, I want it to be separate. And so the water that was in that muck and mire began to dry out underneath the power of the light.
Amen.
And this is all just the second day.
Right.
And so at the end of that second day, God's word was accomplished.
Right.
Yes.
And the dry water, the dry land appeared.
Uh-huh.
Now all of a sudden, God moves into a third day. Why? Because the world had responded. That earth that had received what God told him, that earth had responded to the word. And now God can move into the next day.
Sure.
Amen.
And so now God begins to move in the next day, and he says, now this is the third day. This is the day of my perfection. This is the day that I'm going to start bringing forth life.
Right.
And he begins to look at that world, and he says, I'm going to have creatures in the face of the deep. I'm going to have creatures in the water. And he moves on down, and at the end of that day, when the life comes forth, he says this one thing. He says it's good.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Amen.
He didn't say yet that it was complete. He didn't say yet it was finished. He didn't say yet I'm done. But he said it's good.
Amen.
The day is good. The work for this day is finished.
Oh my.
Like a builder, he gets done at the end of the day. And he looks at where he's come from. He hasn't put the roof on the house yet. He doesn't have the couch moved in. He doesn't have any of that done. He might have just laid the concrete foundation down, but he knows it's been a good day's work.
Amen.
And I am progressing towards what I have in my mind. And so that's how God treated the earth. He knew that he was progressing towards what he had in his mind. And so he begins to progress, and the world continues to respond to God's word until we come into the sixth day and God creates man. And at the end of that day, he says, it's good. Everything so far is good. And then we move into a seventh day, the millennium reign. Man receives his glorified body. He actually takes on a flesh body. He moves from a spirit body, steps down into a flesh body. And now man is given a free moral agency that he can do whatever he wants with in this seventh day. A millennium, as it were. But we know that there were two trees in the garden. One was the tree of life, but there was still a tree of death in the garden too. And we know the story, don't we? The earth responded to the word of God. The earth obeyed the commandment of God.
Yes,
but when man was given that opportunity,
yes,
whether or not he was going to hear the voice of God, man fell.
That's right. Amen.
But now we begin to see another characteristic of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't bother God that everything seems like it's fallen back into chaos again. Because what is it? He's going to be able to express another attribute.
Amen. Amen.
God's
yes,
going to
Lord.
Be able to say, no, I don't care what man's done. But I'm going to begin to express my attribute of a restoration.
Yes. Amen.
I've shown myself as creator. I've done that in one verse, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. I created the heavens and the earth. I took another two chapters to show myself as a builder. But now I'm going to take the rest of the book to show myself as a restorer.
That's right. Yes, Lord.
And so now God begins to show himself in his real attributes.
Yes,
because
Lord.
Now he can really go to work.
Amen.
But really, at the same time, God's a just God, and he plays a fair game.
Yes, he does. Come on now.
And the one that took that building work from him, God says, I had 6,000 years to build. Now I'm going to give you 6,000 years to build your kingdom. And so what happens now is Satan is building his kingdom, and God continues to restore his kingdom.
Amen.
And God builds up the nation of Israel, and he moves upon different ones, and he moves upon Enoch, who walked with God, and he moves upon Abraham, and he moves upon Moses to restore the law so the people can actually live by the law now. But God is trying to get out a point. He's trying to make a point to his people, and it's going by Satan the whole time. Satan thinks that he's just building up his tabernacle on earth.
Sure.
Oh my, it's so beautiful. So now we get to this, that God is not only a builder, but also a restorer. And he comes
Amen.
And he builds up the nation of Israel. But now the nation of Israel falls.
Sure.
God built up the world and it falls. The nation of Israel seems like it's falling. But still, God's declaring, I will restore, saith the Lord.
Amen.
I'll bring them back from the four corners of the earth.
Yes,
I'll have a Benjamin. I'll have a Judah. I'll have 12,000 from each tribe.
Oh, yes,
and now we're in a day where we're beginning to see all of it fulfilled.
Yes, sir.
But
right.
before Amen. That happened, we had already a glimpse at God's restorative power, haven't we?
Yes, sir.
We've already seen how God said, I'm going to restore. I'm going to make a way back into the garden. And that's what all these people down through the ages were looking for.
Yes.
Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God.
That's right.
But he found it not. He said, there must be a way. There must be a way back somehow that I could come back into the presence of God.
Yes.
David said, oh, that I could dwell on the house of the Lord forever. Oh, that I could dwell with him all the days of my life.
Amen.
What was David desiring? He was desiring the Holy Ghost. He was desiring that he could become that temple. But what was it? His responsibilities as a king pulled him out of that tabernacle, pulled him out of that place. He had no position there. He had no ability to stay in that tabernacle all the days of his life.
Right,
he had no ability to stay here where we're experiencing the presence of God right now.
Right.
His desire was to stay there all the time.
Amen.
But he could not do it. Enoch, one day, he walked with God and he said, Lord, I just want to walk with you as long as I can. But it came to the close of the day, and Enoch had to go back. Had to go back to his home and his family and to his wife. But there was something resonating in his heart that says, there's got to be a way back. There's got to be a restoration. And God so honored that desire that he said, Enoch, the time's not yet, but just come home with me today.
Amen. That's right.
I'll let you see it.
Amen.
But the time is not yet. But there's an Enoch in this hour that's Amen. Walking with God presently.
Amen.
Because God has finally made a way of restoration. God finally said, it's time now. The point has been made. I've shown the people that they can't live my law. There's no way to do it. I've shown them, if Christ would have came after the Garden of Eden and immediately died upon the tree, Adam and Eve would have had no concept of their sin. But their sin had to be so manifested until the Roman Empire and humanity was ready to put their Savior on a cross.
Yes, sir. That's right.
If God would have, sure. I think about God in the garden, how his heart would have been, just like Adam's heart was, to just as soon as that fall happened, yes. I don't want to kill these lambs. I don't want to cover my children with lambs. I want to cover them with my flesh. I want to veil them right now. I want to be their covering. I want to run out to that cross right now and lay myself upon it. But he knew that a point had to be made. The people had to see what their sin really was.
Amen. Sure.
And so God let time play out, the prism of time. And so now people come down to this prism and it points all the way to Calvary. I believe Brother Branham said that the whole Old Testament pointed to it,
yes,
and the whole New Testament points back to it.
Amen.
And finally, God said, that which I had in my heart to do all along, that which I desired to do, that's what I wanted to do, and step down and dwell among them. Finally, it's time. The time has come. Like he said in the book of Revelation, the fullness of times has come. But now, in that time, he said, the fullness of times has come. I can now finally fulfill all these prophecies. And he stepped down in flesh, creating the womb of someone that simply received the word of God. Someone that said, be it unto me according to thy word. And he stepped down in that womb and made himself flesh and dwelt among his people. Why? To create a pathway of restoration back, all the way back. And friends, I believe that that's where we're at today.
Amen.
You might look at yourself and say, I don't see anything special. I don't see anything holy. But God has made a pathway of restoration back
yes,
to you.
Right.
I don't see anything special, Brother Josiah. I'm nothing. But somehow I know that God still speaks to me.
Amen.
I'd like to tell you tonight that God doesn't speak to Pluto. God doesn't speak to Mars. God doesn't speak to those planets out there. But the very fact that God speaks to your heart, the very fact that God has drawn you to this place, says that his grace is shining upon you. Do you ever wonder why there's only a few people here? It's because God knew that your earth, your temple, the temple that he chose to dwell in, would receive his word, the original spoken word. And that word has gone forth over your life. And it has a transformative power. Because God did not just create you. God did not just snap his fingers and say, I want these people to come into existence. He didn't just snap his finger and say, I want this one to be saved and that one to be saved. But God, as a builder, laid your foundations from the beginning of the earth. Before he laid the foundations of the earth, he laid the foundations of your soul. Because God cares more about your soul than 10,000 of these worlds. And so God began to look at your soul. He began to look at that temple that he desired to dwell in. And he said, this is a temple which I have found favor in. This is a temple that when I tell him to repent, he's going to be repenting. When I tell him to come out from among them, my people, when I tell him, let the light come out of the darkness, he's going to let the light come out of the darkness. When I shine my light forth from there and begin to pull on him, oh, I can imagine the struggle that so many of us has had. You can remember back to the times when you were out in the world, when you were out in the denominations, and there was light mixed with darkness. There was light there, but it was mixed. But all of a sudden, the word came forth, and he says, remove the light from the darkness. I'm speaking to you now. I'm speaking to you, earth, because I know that you'll listen to my voice.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he spoke to your earth. He said, let the light come forth from the darkness. Be holy as I am holy. Amen. Be separate from among them. Amen. And God showed his favor towards you.
Praise
and that's your position, saints.
Amen.
And but God is a builder. He didn't stop at that day. He didn't stop at the second day where he separated the light from the darkness. Oh, at the end of the first day, he moved. He moved into a second day.
Amen.
He said, now he's repented. He's sanctified himself. Now it's time for the water and the dry land to appear.
Amen.
It's time that he finishes the washing of the water of the word.
Right.
It's time that he hears my voice. It's time to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's time to come underneath the influence of my word and let it wash his life. And come underneath the influence of the light that I've separated him unto.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes,
that's what he's done, isn't it?
Amen.
There was a time when we didn't have light.
Right.
And then he spoke light into us.
Amen.
But then it was confusion. It was chaos. Friend, I want to tell you, you might still be in the first day.
Come on now.
We're not discriminating here tonight. We're finding every seed of God.
Amen.
We're finding every earthen vessel.
God.
That God wants to fill with his Holy Spirit tonight.
Amen.
You might be in the first day. You might say, I feel that there's confusion, there's chaos in my world. It just doesn't seem like there's anything there. Oh my. But if you can feel the Spirit of God moving across the face of your waters.
Sure.
Recently here, I told you about a young man. I'd like to give further testimony on him. There was a young man, November of last year. His father's been coming to our church for a while. And he hasn't been coming, but his father's been faithful. And his father says that when our church prays, things go to happening.
Amen.
And so this man had faith. And he came home from Thanksgiving, and he found his son lying on the floor, 22 years old. Been there for days. I took him into the hospital, registered him up. Got a blood sugar level of 1,800.
Wow.
Body temperature, 71. And they said, sir, we don't expect him to come back.
That's right.
They tried to make him understand that that was a corpse lying there on that table. It was just a matter of time. And he brought the request to us, I believe, on a Wednesday night. And the church went to praying.
Amen.
Some of us went to fasting. We believed on God, and he did too.
That's right. Amen.
And I can tell you that within a week's time, that boy was off a hospital bed.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
Within a week's time, he was up off a hospital bed with no problem with his appendix, no problem with his liver, no problem with all these other organs. God miraculously moved him out of a situation of 1,800 blood sugar level, body temperature 71, corpse lying on a table, and brought him back to life.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Praise God.
But God's not done.
Amen.
God's a builder, Brother James.
That's right.
Amen. God likes to move across people's lives.
Yes.
And God takes his time.
Yes.
I remember when, we don't take our time, do we? I remember I had a real dear friend about when I was about 15 years old, half a life ago now nearly. And I wanted him to receive the Holy Ghost. Real dear friend of mine.
All right.
And I got him that book. The sermon on the Holy Ghost. They print about two or three books in there. What is the Holy Ghost for? What is it given for? I gave that to him. I said, here, read this. I think this would be helpful for you. And I knew that he was seeking the Holy Ghost. And what I expected that he'd come back to me that next Sunday. He said, Josiah, I read that book. And I tell you what, after reading that book, I got down on my bedside altar and I've received the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Sure.
And that's what I wanted to see. That's what I was expecting. But it didn't happen that way. Give it time. God works in time.
Yeah.
A few months later, we go down to a youth camp in Louisiana. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit is moving powerfully. Some of us start with Josiah and Joe J in our names. We were standing up on top of the pews, jumping. I mean, we were just so enthused and had so much youthful energy. 15 years old, always great. But you know, what you do when you're underneath the influence of the Holy Spirit and you still got a young body, it's great. But all of a sudden I saw my friend come down the altar and he kneeled down and I knew what he was there for. Brother Jason, my heart went out to him. Because I knew that this was eternal life. Yes. And something in my heart registered, this is the moment. This is the hour. Yes. It wasn't my imagination anymore. All of a sudden, faith was starting to drop into my soul. Yes. And I got down there with him and I said, I'm not getting up till he does. I began praying for him. And all of a sudden, after some time, he got up. He lifted his hands to the Lord and he began to praise. And as soon as that big fellow that's about twice my size got up and lifted his hands like this towards the Lord, I didn't have to see him praise anymore. I didn't have to see him dance in the Spirit. Something dropped down in my heart so solidly and so sure, like a revelation striking me like a bolt of lightning.
That's right.
And I lit up. I remember jumping to my feet, nearly clicking my heels, running. If you remember, how many have you ever been to Louisiana camp down there? Well, Brother Andrew, you'll remember the old wooden pews are way out here and old wooden pews way out here. Big aisle down the center. Aisles down both sides. Concrete, just straight up concrete on the bottom. Nothing fancy. Not a lot of friction. I've got my dress shoes on. But something strikes my soul and I start running around that place.
Sure.
And I remember coming out around that pew aisle over there. And as I come out, I start to kind of skitter on the corner like a deer on ice with his hooves and everything. And I come around that corner and all of a sudden there's someone out in the aisle right there worshiping the Lord. And something, I look at him, he looks at me like two deers in a headlight. He knows I can't stop. He darted back in the aisle faster than I've ever seen someone dart back in the aisle. I tell you, I just ran right around that place because something struck my heart. I knew that someone had received the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That's it.
But I learned something from that. I learned that it's not according to our imagination.
That's right.
It's according to God's time.
Amen.
And that's what I saw in this young man here that had a blood sugar level of 1800. Didn't come to church afterwards but one time. But I saw that God was moving in his life.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And that was last November, about this February or so, maybe April now, we got another Wednesday night prayer request. And the father wrote in and said, my son's in the hospital with diabetes. They've got to operate on his before the gangrene goes to his bone.
Right.
Talked to the man afterwards and found out that they were planning to amputate the foot. 22 years old, without a foot. All my heart went out to him. And we just went to praying for him there at the service, and I'll tell you, the Spirit of God dropped down. You know when God's hearing your prayer.
Yes,
you know when it's the Holy Spirit making voices of intercession through
sure.
you. And by Saturday, we heard they opened up the foot, got down the bone, nothing was there, and just brought him out and said, you're a very lucky man. So I went down and I visited him. And I began to tell him, you know, what you're seeing is Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep.
Yes.
He was telling me all about his life and how much he struggled and how much confusion there was and how to be saved and all these things the world that was pulling on him. And I said, look, your name is written right here. Friends, maybe some of you can see it tonight. Maybe you can put, and I am without form and void.
Sure.
And darkness is upon the face of my deep. But if you can say that the Spirit of God is moving across my waters,
amen,
then you have hope of something that is to be.
Right.
Another day that's coming.
Yes, amen. Right.
And that's what you have a hope of. And that's what everyone, no matter what day you might be in, we move from that day and God says, let the light come forth out of the darkness.
Right.
And many of us can say, I'm a witness of God's power.
Amen.
God's
yes,
power to transform.
Amen.
God's power to call me out from among them.
Amen.
God's power to call me out from unbelief. God's
Amen.
Power to call me out from my parents' faith and give
Amen.
Me my own faith.
Amen.
God's
Amen.
Power to call me out from denominations.
Praise
God's
the Lord.
Power to call me out from what my pastor's preaching until I can say that it's not just what my pastor's preaching, but I'm hearing the very word of
Amen.
God
Amen.
In my life.
Yes, sir.
And that's what the voice of God is speaking to us. When God begins to speak to your life, it's not that he expects you to change like this, but it's that he's addressing you in the day that you're in right now.
Sure.
That's right.
Amen.
You can look in in Genesis chapter 1 and you can find your name. Oh my, it's beautiful when you begin to see your name in the scripture.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And you can say, God called the light day and the darkness he called light. And all of a sudden, you can move on and say, well, now wait a second. Where's the third day at? Where's the second day at? And the second day is the dry land appearing. But now I can say that the dry land's appeared. I've listened to the commandment of God. He told me to repent. He told me to come out from among them. He told me to make myself separate from among them.
Uh-huh.
I heard the Acts 2:38. I heard the word of God spoken to my heart, spoken to my earth. Repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is it? There's a promise of the third day for me. Because what happened in the third day? And the third day was the first time we see life on the face of the earth. Because there's a promise. Repent, come into the first day, be baptized, come into the second day, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You shall receive life. You'll come into the third day. You'll come into my presence.
Amen.
And so now some of you can say, yes, I've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I'm in the third day, but I feel so weak. I feel so powerless. But God set up in the fourth day, he set up stars and he set up lights in the heavens to guide your way,
yes,
and to show you, because that Holy Spirit has promised to be a guide.
Amen.
And what happens in the fifth day? In the fifth day, we come up to the fifth day and there's more life. There's more manifestation, the life of Christ.
Yes,
you come into the sixth day and there's more life.
Yes.
And that's what God is. And every one of us has the promise of restoration.
Yes.
And that's how God is restoring us. He said, yes, I'm a creator. Yes, I created you. But I'm also a builder.
Amen.
I built this world and it's been taken away from me. I built the nation of Israel and it's been taken away from me. I built the church and it's been taken away from me. But I will restore everything that the palmer worm hath taken, everything that the caterpillar hath taken, everything that Satan's taken from your life. I'm going to restore it. Maybe you can say, I came in the third day one time, but Satan's been talking to me, and he's been telling me that I'm no longer there, that somehow I've gone backwards, and somehow I'm no longer in the second day, I'm no longer in the third day, that I'm back to some creation that has without form and void. Oh, friends, don't let that serpent whisper its snare to your heart.
Amen.
That's nothing but the devil.
Amen.
That's what I've come here to say.
Thank you, Lord.
Satan might be able to say, oh, you've fallen again. How is it that you could be a creation of God? You hardly have the life of Christ in you at all. But recognize that when God came, he spoke to your heart. And God's words are eternal. And God's words are sure. There's no backing up. God does not have a reverse gear on his truck. God is always moving forward. I believe it's the song that says, like a mighty army moves the church of God. Onward, Christian soldiers. We are treading where the saints of God have trod. And I can tell you that you're treading where God has already spoken. God has already spoken. I will restore. My saints are going to go all the way back. Not to the fourth day. Not to the fifth day. But I have spoken that I will restore all the way back to the seventh day, because I have made a propitiation of sins. I have made a way for them to get back to the millennium. Oh, you might be saying, brother, I'm living in the millennium now. I've got the rest of God. But no, God has this literal millennium that he's taking his people back to. And that's where he's taking you. I'll read it here. It says, in things that are to be, if I can find the quote. That's where the church of God is at. It says, but a real child of God is hungering and thirsting. Why? There's something in your heart telling you that you want it, and it needs there, and it's something pulsating, trying to pull you there. There's a body there.
That's it.
What are you using this one for? To glorify the devil and the world and the fashions and things? Are you looking towards heaven? There's something up there. You're glorifying God with your life. He says, come where I am. He says, these are the things that are to be. These are the things now that are only potential calling for the things that are to be.
Yes. Yes.
And if you can say that, I might just be in the fourth day. There's something in me that's calling me up higher.
Yes.
There's something within me that's calling up to a fifth day.
Right.
Because what is it? God is a builder, but Satan is a destroyer.
That's right.
And Satan wants to destroy everything that God has ever built. God has built you up into the second day. Don't denounce that. You haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Don't denounce where God has brought your life. Know that that's something that God's done in your life. But Satan wants to say, no, you're not even a Christian when you do these things. No, you're not even a Christian when you fail like this. No, no, just receive the third day for your life. Amen. Whatever God is speaking to you in the day that you're now, receive the word for your day. Receive the message for your day. Not just a literal message that Brother Branham brought, but what is it to you personally? Amen. What in this 1,200 books is God speaking to you? Is he saying, I want you to be a better father. I want you to establish, oh, it's something that's calling for what's to be. Maybe a father sitting and saying, I desire to have a home life. I desire to have a family that's gathered around the family altar. Oh, hallelujah. Then there's something in you that's calling for the things that are to be. There's something in you that's saying, I desire a family altar. I desire that. Then just bring yourself under submission to the word of God in the day that you are now. Oh, hallelujah. Satan will come to you and he'll say, you've messed up. You've broken your marriage. You've broken this off. Think about the prophet. He was 50 years old and he said, oh, I wish I'd done something for God. And here you are. And you've never done anything for him. Oh, that's the voice of the serpent if I ever heard it. You've never done anything for God. You've never responded to his word. You've never even listened to him. You're nothing. He doesn't even know who you are. He doesn't even hear your prayer. That's the voice of the serpent. A voice that says, whatever you've done for God, that altar experience, that time that God spoke to your heart and you came and gave it to him, that's nothing for God. Yeah, it's nothing. And Satan will try to discount that. But God said, in the second day, it is good. At the end of the third day, God put a seal of approval upon it. And he said, it is good. And he walked away. And he said, my work for this day is finished. But I'm going to bring them into another day. And so there's something that's in your heart. Whatever is in your heart. A preacher doesn't have to preach on it. The Holy Spirit is here. God is here speaking to you. God's louder than the voice of the serpent if you'll just bend your ear towards him. Don't listen to that serpent tonight. Don't listen to that serpent that says that you've done wrecked up, that you can't listen to these words, that these words aren't for you. Listen to the word of God that says there's another day coming and I will not stop building. I will not stop restoring until I bring every one of my children into the manifestation of the seventh day, into that millennium rest with me. Oh, hallelujah, it's going to be a great rest because there's going to be no tree of evil there. There's going to be no tree of the knowledge of goodness and evil there. It caught Eve that time. But when we get that millennium day, friend, there won't be anything there to deceive us. We're right on the cusp of the sixth day, right ready to cross over.
Amen.
We're right there as the church. We're right there as the church ready to cross over the millennium. But where are you, friend?
Sure.
Are you listening to the voice of God in your day?
Thank you, Lord.
That's the word of God. Whatever God is speaking to you, maybe a long time ago, brother, God told you to do something. Maybe he spoke to your heart and says, this is what you need to do for your family. This is what you need to do for my work. This is what you need to do in your home, in your closet, in your car, and at your workplace. And you didn't listen to that word. I'm not here to say that you've gone into reverse. But what I'm here to say is that you're drawing out the timeline of God.
Sure. Absolutely.
You haven't gone in reverse, but there's another day that's going to keep on calling out to your life until you respond to the word of God.
Right.
There's things that are to be in the next day.
That's right.
There's things of the Holy Ghost that God wants to manifest in your life.
Sure.
There's family and smiles and laughter that's in the next day.
That's right.
There's freedom and deliverance. There's freedom from oppression.
Amen.
And freedom from a depression. All that lies in the next day.
Yes.
If you'll just listen to it and know that those things are to be. Not maybe, but it's the potential calling out for it to become manifested.
Amen.
In the actual.
Yes.
But what is it? Right. You have to listen to the voice of God in
yes,
your day,
Lord.
Friends.
Amen.
So many times we get caught up and we say, I want to do this for the kingdom of God.
Sure.
And I need to be doing this, when we forget that God has already spoken to us right down here. Because
yeah,
he's not the God of tomorrow. He's not the God of tomorrow saying
yes,
what you'll
Lord.
Be tomorrow.
Yes,
he's not the God of yesterday saying what you'll be yesterday.
Right.
No, that's Satan telling you what you were yesterday.
Yeah.
That's
Amen.
Satan reminding you of your past, reminding you of how you wrecked up and how you failed and how you've broken your life beyond beyond any kind of rebuilding. That's Satan. God's a builder. God's a restorer. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. God will restore.
Amen.
Just come into the power of the spoken word in your day and know that these things are to be.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Satan wants to take away your liberty from you. Satan wants to take away all your freedom. Satan wants to destroy the work of God in your life.
Amen.
And some of you have been letting him do it. Some of you have been listening to him. Some of you have been saying, that's right, I'm just going to sit down. I'm just going to keep on attending church because at least I can do that. At least I can show up for church. At least I can just be there. But God's calling you further. There's another day. There's some progress that has to be made.
Amen.
More than just showing up for church.
Right.
You think, well, that's all I'm good for anymore. That's all I can do. I'm just poor and miserable and wretched and downcast and good for nothing. That's what Satan wants to tell us. We're good for nothing. Because if he can get the child of God to believe that he is good for nothing, then he's got him fixed right there.
Right.
But God never said that you're good for nothing. When God said, I'll restore, he didn't say, I'll restore except this name and except that name and except that name. God said, I'll restore. End of the conversation. End of the word. End of the scripture. Period. No bothered punctuation mark. No comma. No caveat. Nothing that said, I'll restore except, well, you know, the people that... You know, the people that were harlots and the people that were streetwalkers and the people that messed up their marriage before they came to me and the people that, you know, were in the third day and they still messed up. Well, you know what? Those people aren't going to, they're not going to be restored. They done messed up in the third day. If they would have messed up in the second day when, you know, before they came to the Holy Ghost, well, I could have winked at that. But no, the third day after they received the Holy Ghost and they still messed up, oh, well, there's no hope for them. No. What kind of God is that? That's Satan speaking to your heart,
right,
telling you lies. But if you'll receive the word of truth, if you'll receive that, it'll make you free.
Yes.
You've been up against a barrier. You've been up against a door that's been crossing you, keeping you from passing into another day with Christ.
Amen.
You've been up against that door. There's a shalom message, though, that's come forth, a message of peace, a message of righteousness, a message of restoration, a prophet that came forth and said, shalom, arise and shine, for your light has come. What was that light? It was the evening light of the message coming forth and declaring. What is the evening light? That evening light is a star, and it's speaking of a new day which is to come. All the church ages are past, but you have been brought up to this time. And if you'll just recognize that shalom is here to your life, not just shalom to the bride, but you're part of the bride.
That's it.
Oh, hallelujah, you're part of the bride.
Sure.
You find your identity there. Brother Branham came forth and spoke to the people there at Jeffersonville, and he said, I no longer call you church.
Right.
I call you bride,
yes,
sinless, spotless, bride of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But what you're doing is letting Satan take you back and say that those are just the people that he was speaking to. You're letting Satan make you forget about the revelation of identification. A revelation that says that you've got to identify yourself there in the Word. That when Brother Branham was speaking those words and said, I no longer call you church, but I call you bride, sinless, spotless before the Lord. It's because I've brought forth the Word of God in my day. I've received the earth. I've received the Word as the earth. God speaking to my earth. I've received it. That's what it is. I've been washed by it. The waters have washed over my life. A dry ground has come forth. Life has come in me of the Holy Ghost. I'm part of this.
Sure.
Yes. I find myself in the Word.
Amen.
I can find myself in Genesis 1:1, where God created me. Genesis 1, the rest of the chapter, where God built me up, built up the world. And I can find myself in the rest of the book.
Amen.
From Genesis to Revelation. I can find myself there. A message of restoration. A God that builds back his people and restores them. I'm there. That's my name.
Amen.
That's who I am.
Amen.
The bride of Jesus Christ. Bone of his bone. Flesh of his flesh. Word of his word. My name is written right there.
Amen.
What was the seven seals? The seven seals. The first seal was, the first four seals was about the Antichrist. My name wasn't there. The next seals were about the tribulation. Were about the Jews. My name wasn't underneath there. But somewhere in the opening of this word, I found my name. I found my identification with John. When Brother Branham said, oh, when John spoke forth, he said, oh, they heard. me in the heavens. They heard me in the deep of the earth. They heard me all over the earth because I was shouting and singing. Oh, Brother Branham said this. He said, John must have found his name there. And I believe that there's a people that if you'll just identify yourself with this word and recognize, yes, this is the truth. This is the word of God. My name is there. There ought to be shouting. There ought to be victory in the camp tonight. There's people that are still saying, this is not truth. It's not for me. But I'm telling you that this word is for whomsoever shall. Whomsoever shall believe on my word. That's the red text. You want the text of Jesus Christ. He said, whomsoever shall, whomsoever shall receive my word. Let go of the strongholds of the enemy. Let go of the lies that he's been telling you. Step into a new day. How many of you is ready to do that? Oh, if you're ready to step in the new day, rise with me.
Hallelujah.
Friends, we're right on the cusp of a new day. As a church, we're right on that cusp. But my question is to you, are you in the same day as the church? The church is right at the end of the sixth day. The evening light has shined, speaking of the new day of the millennium, which is to come. But what day are you in? Has God brought you forth from the darkness? Has he manifested his light to you? Have you been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come into the third day of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Have you accepted his guidance for your life as the star setting forth in the fourth day, giving you guidance? Is God building up his creation in the fifth and the sixth day as he set animals on the face of the earth and the fowls of the air? Where are you at, friend? What day are you in? And how are you responding to God? There's no condemnation for the day that you're in.
Amen.
The scripture says, we are his workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation, therefore, to them who are in Christ Jesus, to them who believe. There's no condemnation to the ones that are on the first day, second, third day, wherever you're at, friends. There's no condemnation in this place.
That's right.
But be sure that you're responding to the word of God in your day, and that word will take you all the way to a restoration and a millennium with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your spoken word that's taking root. Lord, for your word that's gone forth tonight and it's found a virgin earth. Lord, I remember the parable that says that after you sowed your word, an enemy came forth and sowed in tares. Lord, sometimes it seems like those tares are right in our heart. We've received your word, and yet there was a man that said, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe I'm a son of God, but yet I see so much flesh. Lord, help me to believe that you've called me good. You've called me perfect. You've called me sinless and spotless. And that it's not about what I'm lacking because I haven't come into the next day. I might be in the third day, and Lord, I admit that I've been too stressed about not having what's in the fifth day. Lord, just let me manifest what's in the third day. I know that you promised me that you would be my guide and that you would lead me into all truth. Friend, if you'd like to make that your prayer tonight, would you raise your hand? Would you begin to speak with voice aloud to Christ? Would you begin to make your voice known as the bride calls back to the bridegroom? Behold, my beloved, he's spoken to me. He's spread his covering over me. He's covered me. He didn't cover Mars. He didn't cover Pluto. He didn't cover the daughters of Zion. He covered me. I can see myself in Genesis. I can see myself in Revelation when they opened the seventh seal, when John called out and saw his name in the book. I can see myself there. I can see myself there in Song of Songs. When he says, arise, my love, my fair one, come away. The winter is past. Can you say, Lord, I hear your word, Lord. The winter is past tonight. I've let the winter blow over my vessel. I've let it make me cold and still in this day that I've been in. But Lord, now I'm looking up to the light that you've set in my life. And I'm saying, Lord, shine down upon me. Dry out my earth, O Lord. Speak your original seed to my life and bring forth more life, O God. Bring forth the fifth day, O God. Bring forth the sixth day. I trust you, O beloved Savior. I trust you, O God. I trust you to bring me into the millennium, into a millennium reign with you, O God. Oh, Lord, I lift up my hands tonight. I surrender my soul to you. I surrender my vessel to you. How many can say, Lord, you've told me not only to surrender my vessel, but you've told me to surrender my heart. How many will say that I'll surrender my heart to the Lord? I'll surrender my doubts and my fears. I'll surrender that unbelief that Satan's spoken there. Fathers of homes, I speak to you tonight. How many times has the Lord spoken to you and said, I desire a family that follows after me. I desire Joshua to rise up in your home, a family whose image is my image, who says that as for me and my house will serve the Lord. Fathers, how many times has that voice spoken to you? Can you say, Lord, tonight I'm going to listen to that voice. I'm going to come underneath the word for my day. And I'm going to follow you and set up the order of the home underneath that family altar like never before. There's something in that other day that's calling. It's families that are smiling, laughter, joy, peace. Vessels that have been born out of your bosom that are filled with the Holy Ghost. These are the things that are to be. Potential calling for the things that are now.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, speak, my Lord. Friends, you just commune with the Lord. You just let Him speak to you. What word is He speaking to your heart? That's the word for your day right now. Will you submit to it? Will you say, yes, Lord, like Mary, be it unto me according to thy word. She didn't reason with it. She said, how can these things be? And then she stopped there. She said, oh, it's too great for me, but be it unto me according to thy word. What is God speaking to your heart tonight? If you'd like to come to the altar, if you'd like to kneel down there at your pew, begin to speak to God. I believe God is speaking to some of you. He's saying, come away, my love. Oh, my love, you're in the secret place. Come into the secret place, the stairs with me. From the top to the bottom, God's speaking to everyone in this congregation tonight. Will you respond to His voice? Oh, thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
How can I pray with you, Jesse?
Dear Lord, pray for this young boy here. Lord, here he's heard a word for his day that says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And he's brought his tabernacle as a token of his belief in you, Lord. Now I just pray that you would heal his vessel. Heal his eye, dear Lord. And may you manifest the word to his eye this day. Grant it now, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Here we have a young boy that came and he heard the word of the Lord. The word that says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. How many of you have broken spirits tonight? Would you hear the word of the Lord that says, I am the Lord that healeth thee?
Thank you, Lord.
That delivers you from all of your infirmities. That I'll send you a comforter and he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. Your spirit's been broken. Been broken by the lie of the enemy, but the light is shining forth today. Would you submit yourself to that light and say, I'm not listening to those lies anymore. I'm not going to fight with them. I'm not going to struggle with those lies. Even now, they're coming into your head, friend. I can feel it. But just stop fighting the darkness and turn from the darkness and look to the light.
Yes, Father.
The word says, separate the light from the darkness. Let the light come forth from the darkness. Don't dwell in the darkness anymore. Don't dwell on the lies anymore. You say, but I'm there. I'm trapped by it. Just look towards the light. Turn your face toward the light. Your body might still be in the darkness, but let your eyes go towards the light. And hear the word of the Lord. Shalom. Peace. Arise, my love, my fair one. For the darkness is over and the light has come. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord.
Praise His holy name.
Praise
His holy name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe God's speaking deeply to some hearts right now. But there are still some hearts that God's... There's some hearts here that no matter how loud I speak, God's speaking louder than I can speak. You just listen to that voice. You just listen to the word of God as He speaks to you. But friend, you that's sitting there listening to the tapping of God's voice, will you open up? Will you say, I'm not going to keep you out there tapping? But the promise unto those who are in Laodicea is that whosoever shall open to me, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. I'll be his God, and he shall be as one of my own. He'll be my people. Would you open up your heart and just stop pushing God away?
Thank you,
stop pushing him and just say, Lord, come and sit at my table tonight. Let's talk it over. Job one day wanted to talk it over. He said, if only I could go up to God's house and knock on his door. But now God's come down to your house and he's knocking on your door. Would you open your door to him? You don't have to go to God's house. He's come to yours.
Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Yes, Father.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the reality of your transformation in our lives, Lord. It's not about who we were yesterday, Lord.
Praise God, praise God.
Oh, hallelujah. It's not about who we are tomorrow, Lord, but it's about who you're making us right now.
Father, hold us just like
you. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Dwelling with a God that is the I Am God. Don't look forward to tomorrow, friends. If you can't look there, it'll make you anxious. Just look up. Look up and see God smiling down upon your life tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Brother Andrew, if you would come.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
This thirsting of my soul.
Believe it now. You feel His presence on you. Take a drink.
And of heaven.
Say it's for me, Lord.
Feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup. Fill it up and make me.
Hallelujah. Give Him praise now. Give Him worship.
Oh, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord, and come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Yes, Lord God.
Bread of heaven, just feed me till I want coming no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. And here's my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. And here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'll just love on him a little bit tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Believe when you pray. He said, ask, believing, and you shall receive. I thank God for his restoration in my life, the joy coming back in my heart.
Praise
him coming
Jesus.
Back around and showing us your name's on my Jesus. Book. Why are you doubting me? Glory to God,
hallelujah,
brother, sister.
Jesus.
Glory
praise
to God. Sometimes we just
Jesus.
Need to go back and say,
hallelujah,
Lord, I didn't even start this.
Thank
you did it, Lord.
Praise
I didn't ask
praise.
For my name to even be on your book, but you
hallelujah,
put it there.
Jesus.
You've shown it
thank
to me.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. It's not impossible. With God, all things are possible.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's right. Worship in the Spirit.
Praise
worship
God.
In truth. Break through
hallelujah,
your flesh.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Don't be afraid. That's the worst thing to do. Press hallelujah, right on
hallelujah,
into it.
Hallelujah.
Say, it's for me. I might froth on the
thank
ground
you,
like an
Jesus.
Idiot. But Lord, if that's
thank
the Holy
you.
Ghost, that's what I want.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Hallelujah. Don't you worry
praise
about work.
God.
Don't you worry about being tired. He's here tonight, brother, sister.
Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord,
bringing the word to us.
Lord,
he doesn't give it to the world. He gave it to us. Hallelujah.
Lord, just hold on to you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Don't pray in doubt. Pray in faith, Lord. It's for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, praise Lord.
You,
glory
Jesus.
To God.
Thank
what
you,
a presence,
Jesus.
Brother, sister.
Oh, I praise you, Lord. I thank you.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be your
hallelujah.
Name. Blessed be your name, Jesus.
Oh,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Let the Holy Spirit move, brother, sister. He's here all over this place. Just say,
thank
Lord,
you,
I open my heart. Lord,
praise.
Take control of my life, my
thank
soul,
you,
my
Jesus.
Voice. All my cares.
Praise thy name, Jesus.
Glory to God in
hallelujah.
The highest. Glory
hallelujah.
To God. We love you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, I praise you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
You, Jesus.
It's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith thou'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun. Believe it now. It's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see. Come on now, sing it all together with all your heart. It's by faith. Make it a declaration that I believe. That's right, Satan. It's by faith that I receive. Not tomorrow, but tonight. Yes, Lord. It's by faith I'll overcome. Right here and right now. It's by faith I'll see the sun. With everything in you now.
It's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun. Dad, just play it softly. Just play it. Holy Spirit's moving amongst us. Glory to God. Worship in spirit and in truth, brother, sister. Don't reserve your worship for tomorrow. Use it up today. Praise God. Lift your voices. Thank Him for what He's done. Thank Him for what He's brought us tonight. A restoration. A word of God to show us where we're at. Aren't you happy? Can you identify with the word tonight? Can you say, Lord, that was for me? Not for me to destroy me, but for me to restore me. And Lord, I receive it. It's mine. Glory to God. What a word. What a power. Don't accept any sickness. Don't take a backslidden life. Grab that promise. You're a son of God. God didn't bring us out of all this mess that every single person in here has come out of to let us die now. He brought us to restore us. Glory. Yes. Hallelujah. Let all the sons of God shout for joy tonight. Praise His name. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. Do you love Him with all your heart tonight? Have you received His promise tonight? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe we can say we've heard from heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a moving of the Spirit. It's so simple, but it's so powerful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't believe I need to even call anyone up. The Holy Spirit's already done all over you. What else are we going to do? He's touched you. That's what we need to think. He touched me. I don't need a man to touch me. If Jesus touched me.
Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah! Oh, I praise Him. I praise Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory! Hallelujah, Father.
Glory!
Oh, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
you, Jesus.
That's not a feeling, that's it.
Glory. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Praise His name, praise His name. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, I praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
All right, let's sing it now with the new fervor. It's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith. One last time, let's give Him a wave offering tonight. Yes, Lord, it's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith. A shout of praise tonight.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God.